All right, how's everybody doing? Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com, and of course, this is Chicago Music Revealed. We are here. We are on, what is today? Boy, everything is just moving fast these days. It is Wednesday in the beautiful city of Chicago. Hopefully everybody is doing fine. Everybody is doing wonderfully. You can hear the theme song just ending there. There you have it. Hopefully everybody made it through yesterday and the day before, and everybody's staying safe, healthy, social distancing. Lots of things going on, obviously, throughout the entire world, let alone here in Chicago. It seems like things are calming down a little bit, thank goodness. We took a little time out yesterday in honor of the music pause that they put on. All of the music industry people throughout the entire country paused what they were doing in support of, you know, all of the social injustice that's happening here. So I was happy to be a part of it. I'm glad the show, we put a little pause on. We're going to reschedule the guests that we had planned for yesterday for another time, but it was a very important day. And hopefully everybody observed that who were musicians or did something to observe that, because it was very important. And hopefully you're getting out. And if you can, get out and peacefully protest the situation, because it's very important to make sure this is a sustained movement, not just it comes and then it goes, because there's a lot of people, and we all know who they are, and I don't want to get into a long political discussion, but we all know who would love for this just to go away. So let's just do it, but we have to do it peacefully, we have to do it organized, and it seems like in Chicago, more often than not in the past couple of days, it has been incredibly organized, and it's really moving to see. So keep it up, congratulations, and anything we can do here, Chicago Music Revealed, we would love to be a part of anything we can help out to do something as far as spreading the word and making sure that we can make some serious changes here in this country. All right, now we're going to move on to our first guest and our only guest today, Jake Trussell. I'm going to bring him on. Jake and I met, at the Epiphany Center for the Arts, where I'm the director of programming and entertainment. And we had these big plans, Year of Chicago Music. We were setting it all up. I was on a couple of steering committees. I know Jake's heavily involved. He's on steering committees as well. And we were going to do this whole huge thing at the festivals this summer and push it out. And I was going to do video interviews and all this. And Jake had lots of different things happening for the Year of Chicago Music. I know he's heavily involved with the city. And then we had a D-Case media event at the Epiphany Center for the Arts on March, I forget the date exactly, March 4th, I think I want to say, or somewhere around in that vicinity. And literally the next week, COVID-19 happened and everything shut down and everything stopped and everything went on a pause. And now Jake's involved with he's involved with the Arts and Business Council of Chicago, and they're doing a Shy Music 35 Challenge. He's also an accomplished DJ, DJC, toured throughout the entire world. He's performed with the likes of Lupe Fiasco, Fortet, Rhymefest, and many others. We're going to talk all about that. He's also an entrepreneur. I could go on and on, but why am I going on and on when Jake's on the phone? Jake, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Was that a good intro? Did I did I cover enough bases?
Wow, that was amazing. That was amazing. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No, definitely. Go ahead.
And yes, I remember when we were hanging out at the Epiphany Center, for that Year of Chicago Music media event, and COVID had like half hit.
Yes.
Because
yes.
we were all elbow bumping.
That's
at
right.
That point.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And I remember, and because we were there, you were DJing for the after set after some presentations. And I remember a few people that were there from the city got a few phone calls talking about a certain press conference that was going to happen in the morning. And that's when it all started going down. So you're right. Yeah, we were elbow bumping, weren't we?
Yep. Yep. And we were that was the last sort of public event I was at before, you know, quarantine. So it was an honor to be there with you in person. It was very nice to get to actually meet you in person before all this went down. Yeah, it's been quite a few months here.
It has. I mean, what do you think people are going to do now? There's been so many people that have actually met through Zoom. When they actually see somebody in person 9 months later, they're not going to recognize them because they've only been looking at them through Zoom or to, through Skype or something like that. So it'll be
Yeah, and
interesting.
their hair will have grown so long in their beards that we won't recognize each other anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. So
Yeah.
before we get into your career and everything, let's talk a little bit about this initiative and talk a little bit about the background and talk about how it all came about. Shy Music 35 Challenge.
Yeah. Well, so it is this year, 2020, among many other things, happens to be, well, as you mentioned, it's the year of Chicago music, and there were big plans for that.
Yes.
It also happens to be the 35th anniversary of the Arts and Business Council of Chicago, where I serve on the board of directors. And we decided, last year in 2019, we were talking about how we might celebrate our 35th anniversary. And this idea came up of tying it in with the year of Chicago music. And so, in fact, somewhat, I think, fortuitously, and sort of, I guess it was kind of good in retrospect that we decided not to do a gala or a live event. And instead, we would create this online challenge, and there's actually a raffle component of it too to raise funds. But the challenge is asking the public to help define the 35 greatest moments in Chicago music history. So you mentioned the website shymusic35.com. If you go to that website, there's a list of historic Chicago music moments there, and you, the public, can choose, which ones of those are the most important. And then in July, it closes in June, and then so we've got given ourselves about a month to kind of tally up what we learned from that. And then in July, we're going to announce the 35 greatest moments in Chicago music history, in partnership with the Chicago Reader. So they'll be publishing those 35 greatest moments in the Reader. It's a way, it's turned out to be kind of a way to celebrate those incredible things that have happened in Chicago music, which I think probably the listeners of this program, if anyone realizes, there's that they're just, Chicago's influence on global music has been just incredibly immense. And my mind continues to be blown as we're working on this challenge, as I learn more and more things that have happened here, that have led to, I mean, the advent of rock and roll and soul music, and the way that house music influenced the dance musics around the world, and all of, there just continue to be these Chicago, living forms of Chicago music that are influential globally. And so this is a way that, during this year of Chicago music, which when unfortunately we can't go out and, have a celebration at a festival, we can still bring communities together to celebrate the music that makes the city great, with this online challenge.
Well, I find it fascinating because, I mean, to whittle it down to 35, first of all, that's quite a feat, right? I mean,
Yeah.
and I can only imagine the feedback you're getting. I can't even imagine it because, I mean, there's got to be so many different people giving you so many different options and talking about so many poignant things that happened in Chicago. I mean, one
Yeah.
of the first recordings ever happened in Chicago. Jelly Roll Morton. I mean, it's like on the south side of Chicago and all of these different things. I mean, just looking at, from the standpoint of like the jazz world, I mean, think about Bronzeville, think about the Great
Yeah.
Migration, think
Right.
about all of that stuff. That's Chicago. Everybody thinks East
Yep.
Coast, West Coast. Most of it came here, New Orleans and here, and then it went to the East Coast and West Coast. So,
Yeah.
it's
Well, and I think
fascinating.
you're bringing up an incredible point in this moment, is the power of the legacy of black music in Chicago, which, this is a good moment to bring up the fact that Black Lives Matter,
That's
right? I
right.
mean, we would not have American music as such without black people having essentially kind of created that unique style that, unlike, many musics around the world. I mean, you know, every country or every region has their kind of folk music. Europe had developed this kind of the classical canon, which was very sort of academic and coming out of the upper echelons of society. But, you know, America has really developed these forms of music that are influential globally, that are also folk musics.
Right.
You know, it's just stunning. And so much of that happened in Chicago. And you're right, the Great Migration was a big part of that. Many of the original, you know, the earliest jazz artists, well, in fact, Louis Armstrong, for example, moved mm-hmm. up to Chicago from New Orleans. And, you know, he was playing jazz in New Orleans, but he made his first recordings here. And that's what put Louis Armstrong on the map. And actually, you know, that Jelly Roll Morton moment that you mentioned, you should send that along to me so we can add it to the list, because that's not on there. And that's really important.
Okay. Good call. See, at least I'm worth, at least I have some thoughts here on the show that are meaningful. But, you know, you think about think about this, right? So from the jazz standpoint, I mean, you know, the incredible music that was coming out here. Then you go up and you get into Chess Records and you get into soul and all that R&B, and everything was invented here. All of the recordings that came out of Chess, whether it's jazz, blues, rock, all of that stuff. Then house was invented here. I mean, you know, it's amazing. Without even getting into the blues side of it, I mean, that the electric blues was essentially invented here.
One thing that I've found that's really interesting is that what was happening in music here in the 20s, when those original recordings were happening, whether it was Louis Armstrong or Jelly Roll Morton, or, you know, actually, or Sister Rosetta Tharpe is another example, right? But Sister Rosetta Tharpe came out of the gospel tradition. She started singing in church. And, you know, a lot of the music was extremely heavily influenced by church music. Even the secular music was, right? And so it was basically, everything was either gospel or blues. And so even the jazz, if you listen to most of those, you know, 20s and 30s jazz recordings that were made here, like, actually has blues in the title, because it was like the this blues or the that blues, right? And I mean, so it's all kind of, blues and gospel going back to the core. But one interesting thing that, you know, sort of you point out with the connection to house. DJ Laurie Branch, who's widely considered to be kind of the first woman who was a house music DJ in the early 80s on the scene, when it was at the time when it was kind of dominated by men. She's one of our ambassadors for Shy Music 35, and she did an interview recently with the Chicago Reader, in which she talks about the fact that her cousin is Billy Branch, who's a blues harmonica player, and she told the story of watching him perform at the blues festival and being so proud of him, and then also that she grew up in the church where Sister Rosetta Tharpe, who's considered the godmother of rock and roll and is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, grew up singing. she started singing, you know, in the 20s as a 6-year-old in this church. And so you have this person, Laurie Branch, who, I mean, the thread just ties through everything with her, right? And you just see the power of Black music in Chicago, you know, from this woman who was, you know, who created a guitar style in Sister Rosetta Tharpe that kind of influenced rock and roll to a large extent, through to her cousin, who's a blues artist, and, you know, herself, who was there at the beginnings of house music that's been so influential to global dance music. And in fact, you know, it's funny, as I go through and talk, I'm obviously like a huge music nerd. And so I can nerd out on this stuff all day, but, like, you know, a lot of people I talk to are like, oh, really? And like I said, I keep having my mind blown too. Like, I'm learning new stuff about this all the time, but, you know, house music not only, you know, was kind of invented in Chicago, the term comes out of the Warehouse, which was a club where these DJs were playing, kind of mixing disco with European electronic music like Kraftwerk and soul and all kinds of stuff into this melange that eventually became house when they started turning it into their own records that they were producing. Mm-hmm. You know, that the fact is that, like, I guess the first house music record came out in 84, and within like 2 or 3 years they started really experimenting a lot more with like hardcore electronic instruments, right? And they started using these Roland synthesizers and came up with what they were calling acid house. And acid house became the sound of the UK rave movement. So by the late 80s, in 1989, you know, in England, like, all the DJs were playing this stuff called acid house, which was invented by these black kids in Chicago.
Isn't that amazing? It's amazing.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and it's, you know, I noticed it happening again, even, you know, 10 years ago, like around the time when I moved to Chicago, I was really into dubstep, which was this genre that was big in England at the time. And right around that time, there were these producers and DJs in Chicago producing this sound called footwork, which is related to like a particular dance style. Mm-hmm. And footwork is like a really interesting, complex, you know, musical style. And suddenly all the DJs in England who had been playing dubstep were like, oh, I play footwork now, you know, and you could... You could just see that like crosstalk that continually goes back and forth from the British invasion. Yeah. Like with, you know, when you had Led Zeppelin and the Yardbirds and the Rolling Stones all playing Chicago blues, like mm-hmm. up until 10 years ago, it's still happening.
I find it amazing because to your point too, and I remember because I used to have a practice space. I'm a drummer, obviously. I know you know that. And I know everybody watching this probably knows that too.
Yeah.
But I used to have a practice space. And I can remember down here on the south side that it was like, you know, maybe 4 or 5 of us in this practice space. You know, I had my own room with my drums. And then all of a sudden, it had to be probably 2006, 2007, right around in there. All of a sudden, these producers started moving in and they didn't need a lot of space. So they were getting the smaller spaces and they were creating these beats that were coming out of that. Then all of a sudden, a couple of them got picked up onto, you know, some major labels and they started... you know, getting hired by major hip hop artists to do beats for them and things, but that was all coming out of Chicago. And I remember asking one of them, cause we got, you know, I was talking to everybody back then. We were all kind of hanging out. I can't remember names now, which I probably should because they're probably famous, but, and I was asking one of them, I'm like, why out of Chicago? He's like, you know, this is where we're doing it, man. It's not happening anywhere else. This is where we're inventing this stuff. Cause this is what we're feeling right here. And I was like, wow, that is the greatest way to explain something, but dumb it down to somebody like me, who's, if he would have really explained it, I probably wouldn't have understood, but that was it. And it seems like that's just kind of the soul of Chicago, if you will, for music. You know, it keeps reinventing itself here and all these different styles reinvent, and then they move out all globally and around the world. And sometimes Chicago gets forgotten that this is where a lot of this stuff was invented.
That's a huge part of it. I think a lot of cities are like that, but it's really evident in Chicago. I mean, for example, some of these house music DJs they go over to England and they're like superstar. They've had number one hits there on the charts, you know, and so they're playing to like festivals and stadiums but they're back here and like nobody really knows who they are, you know?
Nobody cares. It's like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, which is, you know, I know, you know, Frankie Knuckles was kind of, you know, he was the first kind of artistic director, I think, or resident. He was the main resident DJ at the Warehouse when the house music like movement kind of kicked off. And he's kind of known as, you know, the godfather of house. And he has an honorary street in Chicago named mm-hmm. after him. And but I mean, you know, of course, there are all these other people. I mean, I've been talking to Vince Lawrence, you know, during this challenge, and he co-wrote with Jesse Saunders this track On and On, which is said to be the first house record ever made. And, you know, that's that record in 1984 that I mentioned.
Yeah.
And you know, Vince is here, Jesse's here. These people. Wayne, I've been talking to Wayne Williams also, who's actually Jesse's stepbrother, and he was he's a DJ who started. He heard like Ron Hardy playing disco in Old Town in, I think he said 74. Like he's been doing it since then. And he like started playing disco on the South Side and bringing it back to those kids. And that's an interesting aspect of house music as well, is that it really is rooted in disco. Like that's kind of what the DJs were playing. And then when, you know, disco went out of favor, it went underground. I mean, but it was like, you know, it was a black queer scene, dance music scene that was happening in the underground. And they were like, and they were creative. So they were like mixing up all these different styles. And then when they, like I said, when they started like making records and putting it down themselves, like it just created this unique sound that nobody had, you know, nobody had made before.
It's fascinating when you really start looking at it, and you really, I mean, we could talk for hours about stuff. I mean, we're not even talking about like outside of house music and outside of blues, jazz. I mean, just think about like the Steppers. I mean, I don't know how much stepping is happening around the world, except for here in Chicago. It's huge.
Right.
And when people come into Chicago, they're stunned. They love it. But the Steppers movement, I mean,
I know. That's fascinating. And I don't know that much about Steppers, but, you know, what it reminds me of a little bit is the go-go scene in DC, you know, where like certain cities, like in Baltimore, there was Baltimore club music. Like, these cities have these kind of regional styles that don't necessarily make it out. And Steppers kind of like, sort of strikes me as that in Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, has this amazing heritage here.
It really does. And it's huge. I mean, you know, if you have a Steppers party or something, like if we were going to do something at Epiphany with a Steppers party, we probably had 600 people show up without even trying.
That's amazing.
As long as we had the right band and they were playing the right music. I mean, it's incredible. But I mean, we could go down these wormholes all out of Chicago.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me. And that's part of the reason why the city and Commissioner Kelly started that initiative for the Year of Chicago Music. Now, what committees were you on? What different steering committees were you on? Because I know that you were on a couple, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm on, and I'm saying I am because presumably that'll come back to life at some point.
Right, say you were, because I still am as well. But
right, and it technically is the Year of Chicago Music still, and I know that they've announced that they're going to continue it into 2021 because I think. Largely, I think, because one of the main initiatives was, a keystone aspect of it was going to be Chicago In Tune, which was a major new festival combining a number of other festivals, including blues, gospel, and house music festivals. And of course, you know, all of the festivals were canceled. And so that, I think that's the main reason why they've kind of moved it. They're going to continue it into 2021, which makes a lot of sense. But yeah, I've been serving on the marketing committee and also the professional development and industry development working group, which is really interesting. I mean, that's a place where when you think about music industry, Chicago's a place where there were lots of record labels at one point. And there and have been over the years, right? But you see over and over again, artists become successful here and then move to the coasts. Mostly these days, LA, just because there's critical mass of record industry. And, you know, it's not just record industry. It's, you know, it's management, it's booking agents, it's, everything you need to be successful.
Connectors, essentially.
Right. Yeah. Right. So that in-person aspect of the industry is there, and in New York still to a certain extent as well. I mean, you see the same thing in the theater and film industries here, right? Mm-hmm. So Chicago's an incredible incubator for creative talent. You know, we could go down the list of all the incredible talents that have come out of here and then wound up in New York and LA. But so that's what that working group is kind of focused on. Well, what can we do to be more supportive of not only the artists that are here and their professional development, but the industry that's here that kind of keeps, that builds that critical mass that a city like LA has. Mm-hmm. And then the other one that I'm on is the kind of research and policy committee, looking at what could we be studying. That's very tied into this industry stuff, right? It's like what do artists and the industry need in order to be more sustainable, and then how do we create policies that support that?
That's like probably one of the most important ones right there, because I think that when's the last time anybody really looked into that? It had to be, 40 years ago. I mean, really, when you really start thinking about it, it's like that's never addressed. I think that's one of the things, you talked about people going to the East Coast and the West Coast and to get out of here because of the record labels, the A&R people and all these different things. But I think that, as in 2020 and 2021, everything has changed now with COVID-19 and the way the entire music industry operates. So I'm going to be really curious to see, because before all this happened, I wasn't convinced anybody got a major advantage if they went to New York or LA, if they were here in Chicago and they knew how to connect with people and maybe they made some visits out there and connected, they could still live here easily and travel back and forth. But now with this entire situation happening, I'm going to be real curious to see, because the price of living, the oversaturation of musicians and artists and creatives in both the East and the West Coast, I'm just going to be real curious to see what happens, if people are going to really feel like they have to leave Chicago in order to take the next step in their career. Because that's what everybody always says. I got to go to LA. I got to go to New York because I've hit my ceiling here in Chicago, which I actually don't believe. I think you just have to think creatively a little bit. But
well, you're touching on a really good point, which is something that I think Chance the Rapper has kind of proved. And I think he's a figurehead of the new industry, where he was winning his 3 Grammys without a label backing mm-hmm. him. He had only released mixtapes, and I guess that was his first quote unquote album that was self-released through Apple and Spotify, etc.
Right.
He did move to LA for a period of time, and then he came back to Chicago and he said, hey, I want to be like, my roots are here. This is my city. This is what I feel. So it's kind of like what you were saying about these producers that you knew, like mm-hmm. there's a vibe here. And I also I see, as you were talking about those producers, I was thinking about him because he's kind of also a figurehead of this kind of new Chicago sound that's emerged over the past few years.
Yes.
But he's both. He's like a figurehead of a sound and an industry movement. That industry movement also crosses into film and television with, Netflix and Amazon, et cetera, being so important now. It's even there, it changes the landscape of where you really need to be in order to make stuff. And I think that all ties back to the internet in some ways, right? It's like there's this immense distribution tool there mm-hmm. That people have really figured out how to harness. But I think, Chance is an example. I don't know how much of that is happening overall, but I think what you're saying about COVID-19 potentially being like an even bigger catalyst, like now that everybody's kind of, everybody's stuck. I mean, I'm one big concern that I have is that I think artists who are as successful as Chance, and artists that are on major labels, et cetera, have like a lot of leeway to survive this moment.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of artists that, the vast majority of artists are always just scraping by, and I just can't see how they can survive this situation.
No, I agree. And I think But then it comes back to the point, and since we're talking about this, which, of course, I'm on the phone. I've got Jake Trussell on the phone, DJC, when we're talking about a whole lot of stuff, which I love, and it really pertains to everybody that's watching and listening to this show. He's got the initiative that he's working on, Shy Music 35, shymusic35.com, Shy Music 35 Challenge. So check all that out, and we'll talk a little bit. We'll circle back on that in a minute, but, you know, you're talking about stuff, and I'm a big believer, and just with the way that we're talking about doing things at Epiphany moving forward in September, we're starting to kick things off and starting to program things and think about programming. We're thinking completely different than we were before COVID-19 out of necessity. And I think there's going to be those musicians, you know, all the entire music industry is completely different from the standpoint of live performance at this point. It's totally different, which means all the models are shot. They're out the window. You can't pack 100 people in a 100-person club and sell them alcohol all night and make money off of that and put a lot of people in front of different artists. And artists can't do their regular promo anymore and bring people in and drive people in. So I think it's one of those shifts in the entertainment industry that hasn't happened probably for 50 years. And
maybe even 100.
Maybe even 100. Yeah, right? Yeah. Maybe even 100. And it's going to be those creatives that think differently, think outside the box, and can maneuver around to figure out, you know, I mean, look at what happened. I mean, you know, back, you know, I'm a history buff, but not that much of a history buff. But, you know, during the Black Plague back in the 1500s and stuff, right, it came out. Yeah. There was a great Enlightenment and all of that. I mean, So something like that is going to end up coming out of this because there's too many creatives, too many people, and it's going to readjust potentially the entire entertainment industry, possibly to really help independent artists and help those independent creators to be able to function outside of the norms, you know? That's my thought.
Certainly the, you know, many of those creatives themselves are creating new models for that themselves right now. Right. I mean, I, again, Chance the Rapper was kind of doing that before all this happened. But now is the opportunity. I mean, I'm not a professional artist, myself, but I am a musician and a DJ and I've found myself, like, I had a number of gigs that were canceled in March, and suddenly I was like, oh, I'm gonna go on Facebook Live and Instagram Live and just, you know, like you're doing with your show here, and just like do these sets that I was gonna do, and it wound up being so cathartic both for me and like even for my friends, who wound up like we would have dance parties in our own living rooms and like my wife connects with them on Zoom, you know, and the kids are there, and it's just like, it's just fun. And, you know, it's not like any kind of business model, but it's kind of forced me into this like thing that I never would have done. I was like, I don't know why I would live stream, you know, but I have been, and it's been really fun. And so I imagine that, you know, like, especially people who are in the position of like really struggling and having to figure out how to survive this moment, there must be some really incredible ideas emerging out there, that we're going to start to see bubble up, you know, to your point. I think this moment is probably going to, it will redefine how the music industry works. It certainly already has, right?
Like, that's
the music
right.
industry has just like canceled every live performance. So we've never seen anything like this before.
No, it's, I was telling, you know, I say this on the show all the time and to different artists and different guests when I have them on, but I mean, you know, even during the financial crisis, clubs were open. There was some business to be had for the music industry, for the creative industry, just in general, right? I mean, there's some business to be had. This is like the worst thing that could happen to the live performance, live entertainment industry, period.
Yep.
Like, period.
Yep.
Like,
right.
You can't, like, this is something, if you had a movie and you pitched a movie with this premise, they would be like, you know what? That's way too out there, man. There's no way that we could ever do anything with this. I mean, give me a break. Who's going to believe that? Well, here we are, you know?
Yeah.
And to your point, I know we talked about this offline when we've talked on the phone in the past couple of months, but, you know, you're doing your live stream DJ and sets, spin sets and stuff. Yeah. And I mean, I'm doing the show. I decided to start doing this show on a regular basis to start connecting with people and connecting the music scene. And I'm already seeing the ability to reach people all over the country, let alone all over the world. I'm having people from Brazil on, and I'm having people from France and England and things like that on this show. Yeah. And we're all talking, and we're talking about the same thing. We're all going through the same stuff. And it's building out my audience and building out my brand.
Totally.
I would have never done that. I was doing my show completely different before this whole thing happened. And to your point, same thing with you, with DJing, you know, Facebook Live and Instagram Live, you got to be reaching a lot more people on a regular basis than you would if you were at a club.
We reconnected. We had people that just that first time I did it. We had friends from Thailand, Chile, Berlin, England, you know, I mean, it was like,
it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, they never would have come to a show in Chicago or, you know, so, that was, it was incredible.
And I'm sure you've talked to a lot of other DJs, and I've talked to a lot of musicians, that we've talked about, and they're like, you know what? Once or twice a week, even when clubs open up, it's actually better for my career to do some live stream events and put a tip jar out. And be able to connect with a larger audience than go all the way downtown, drive downtown, fight traffic, everything else, park and all that other stuff and everything, and make the same amount of money that you're getting from your tip jar online, and you're not connecting with nearly as many people and spreading your music and distributing it. I'm sure you're having the same situation, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. But I will say that I will call it different, right? It's something that I would like, I agree with that idea that I now will probably continue to like keep this added to the mix. You know, even if I did a live show again somewhere out in public, I might also throw it up on Instagram Live at the same time. But I do really miss, you know, I miss having the visceral feeling of a live audience that I can play off, that we play off of each other. There's that and there's just like the technical annoyances, as I'm sure you're aware of, of live streaming it's just a pain. And especially, I don't know if anyone you've been talking to has gotten into this yet, but, as a DJ trying to perform on a live stream, there are serious problems with copyright issues. So Facebook and Instagram, well, same company, right? But interestingly, they seem to kind of react a bit differently, but they pull down feeds. So, you know, I'll be in the middle of a set and all of a sudden I get this, you know, like, we've taken down your feed because, you know, you're playing something owned by XYZ. Mm-hmm. And it's super frustrating. And actually, I know, like, Questlove, who, when he goes up on Instagram and plays, he's getting over 100,000 people watching him. He posted about this on Instagram recently, kind of an impassioned post about, hey guys, in this moment, can you just let up, you know? But I know that it's the industry, right? I mean, Facebook has deals with the record industry. The record industry owns the copyrights. And unfortunately, it's like this, we're in the same situation that we were in 1999 with Napster, where the record industry was like behind the ball on figuring out how to deal with this new digital distribution model. And now we're in the same place with streaming, when suddenly we have this moment where like every DJ is online streaming. And honestly, like my feeling about it is, when I'm on there playing other people's music, I'm promoting their music for them. I'm not making money off of playing their music. I'm promoting their music, and because Facebook has this algorithm that can see the tracks that I'm playing, what would be helpful is if they put the playlist up there so that my audience could see what I'm playing and then doled out the royalties to the artists.
Yeah. You would think that would be like the no-brainer thing to do. I mean, it seems very simple to all of us. I mean, it's you and I talked about this on the phone right when all of this stuff started happening, and you started doing these things, and they were pulling you down, and you brought that point up then. I can't believe they haven't adjusted or done something. There's money to be made, you know?
It's gotten worse. Like they pull it, you know, they've become sort of better at analyzing the tracks. I mean, I understand, like, you know, because they haven't worked out the deals yet, you know, and I mean, honestly, like Facebook doesn't want to pay out more money to the, you know, for the royalties. And they would have to negotiate all that stuff before it could actually work. And presumably they are probably working on that behind the scenes. I don't know, but you would think, right? I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I think there's a lot of money to be made for them.
Yes.
In addition to for the artists. So it's kind of a win-win that unfortunately is a little bit behind the ball at this point.
I mean, I have an idea about it, but I'm not going to say it here because unless Mark Zuckerberg is going to send me a check, I'm not giving him free advice. But you would think that there's a way for either a pay thing that they could set up if you're a DJ and you don't want ads on your stream if you're playing some things, or if you don't care and there's ads running. I mean, just the simple idea there would be well worth the amount of money they'd have to pay to ASCAP, BMI, and everybody else. But what do we know?
And actually, there's a website called Mixcloud that is where I put my DJ mixes up. So if you go to Mixcloud and you search DJC, which is just the letters D, J, and C, you'll find my mixes there. And I like Mixcloud's their business model, because what they're doing is, you know, when you put up a mix, you put the track list in there, and they actually like pay royalties to the artists based on the ads and the subscription, you know, service that they have. And I mean, I think they're still figuring out how to make that work, but that's the business model that, you know, I think ultimately that's what's going to work for everyone.
Well, I think you're right. I think, well, like we talked about, I mean, everything is changing. And when we're talking about everything is changing, I mean, we're talking about Facebook and Instagram. They need to adjust. So, I mean, that's how much everything is changing, because this thing caught everybody off guard.
Right.
And, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, who would have thought within 1 week everybody's playing in clubs, and then all of a sudden everybody's playing cover tunes and copyrighted music on Facebook and Instagram Live because they can't play in clubs. So, it's a whole new world, man. It's a whole new world.
Totally.
Which, again, this could be labeled. Now, check this out. This is going to be an incredible transition. This could be labeled as one of the 35 most influential moments of Chicago music. And if you have another one, you can go to shymusic35.com. Wasn't that a good transition or what, Jake?
That was amazing. You're a pro.
Well, you know, anybody can say they're a pro because they're doing Facebook Live and they have a microphone. So who cares, right? It's, hey.
Yeah, no, you've got the technique, though. It's talent. That's what that is.
I like to think that. That's good.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so everybody, so it's shymusic35.com. And the deadline, by the way, we should mention this too, right? June 18th. And anybody can go on there, talk a little bit about the raffles, talk about how they can submit their favorite memory again and all that good stuff. And the deadline's June 18th, just to make sure I said that.
Right. So if you go to shymusic35.com, you'll see right on the homepage there the poll where you can vote for up to five of these moments. Super easy to vote. You just check them off, whichever ones you like. And if we're missing something, like I mentioned to Mike earlier, you can add your own moment there. And if it meets the criteria, we'll add it to the list of moments. Now, again, as I mentioned in the beginning, this is a celebration of the 35th anniversary of the Arts and Business Council of Chicago. And our role is to help artists and arts organizations develop their businesses, right? And this is obviously going to be super important coming out of this, the pandemic as well, because it's not just even live performing artists. It's, just all artists are really hurting. It's the same with, like, you can't go to galleries right now, right? Theater is, you know, that's a live performance art. Theater industry is devastated. But of course, like for 35 years, we've been doing this work, helping arts organizations build their business capacity. So we provide consulting services. We actually work with business professionals in industry who have expertise in whether it's, you know, financials or marketing, or we also help with board development, especially, you know, for nonprofit arts organizations. We help build, develop board members and then place them on boards of arts nonprofits. Yeah. And so, so, you know, we're going to continue doing that work. And we actually just the beginning of this year had launched a new initiative called 77 Communities. In Chicago, there are 77 neighborhoods. And we had realized that we were mainly supporting the North Side neighborhoods and that we weren't doing as good a job as we should be making sure that we're supporting marginalized, disinvested Black and Brown communities on the South and West Side. And so we had in January and February, we had launched a series of a number of annexes in neighborhoods across the city to where we had some of our staff members out there sort of meeting with community members and just like trying to feel out the scene and figure out what's going on and where we can help. We're also shifting some of the focus toward just even doing individual consulting sessions with artists rather than just focusing on, you know, sort of nonprofit organizations and board development and that kind of thing. But anyway, that's the work that we do at the Arts and Business Council. And we are, so there, as you mentioned, there's a raffle component of this, which is our fundraiser. There's actually, if you just simply fill out the poll and you know, help us decide what those 35 greatest moments are in Chicago music history, you can be automatically entered for free to win tickets to go see Buddy Guy at Buddy Guy's Legends.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, in 2021, hopefully everything will have opened up by that point. Yeah. But that's the sort of free raffle that you can do just for filling out the poll. But then we also have a number of other great prizes. In you know, we've partnered with a number of chefs and restaurants and you know, just other sort of like experiences to provide basically experiences that you can have at home. So
nice. Like so that's like something that could actually happen in a COVID situation where you could have person come into your house as a chef or something. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Or even like, you know, they'll make you something and deliver it. There's a, there's a farm share, prize. There's a barbecue prize, you know, where this great barbecue chef will make you, there's actually a creative escape, which could be really fun. Even in this situation, to the Bright Angel Retreat and Creative Center, which is out in Michigan. You know, so there's just a bunch of fun prizes, but you know, essentially what we're doing is raising funds for the work that we do. And of course, which of course is going to be really challenging and important coming out of this devastating pandemic situation.
Yeah, guys are going to be one of the most important organizations in Chicago as people come out of this, because there's going to be a ton of need in all of the different creative avenues. And I mean, you guys are incredible. I knew a little bit about the Arts and Business Council, but I mean, this is just you talking right now. I've got to really delve into it because it sounds incredible. The amount of resources that you're able to offer people and help all different creatives throughout the entire city.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, this is focused on music because it's the year of Chicago music, but our, as I mentioned, our work spans across, you know, it's just arts and culture in general. Like I said, well, in fact, last year with the year of Chicago theater, we put together a cohort of theater organizations that are led by or in Black and Brown communities. We're providing, this was based on a grant that we received from Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events. We're providing free services to that cohort of theater organizations all through this year. So that's basically like free consulting services.
That's amazing.
So yeah, that's the kind of work, and we're looking at doing something similar this year for music as well. But that's still TBD.
Well, I think it's probably going to get pushed into 2021 too, but you guys are going to be very busy. You're going to be an incredible resource for everybody in the creative community, because there's going to be a lot of need for, if nothing else, some mentorship and some direction to give people some other ideas on how to get their business back up and running from a creative standpoint, you know, in the creative world. So it's incredible.
Yep.
All right. So everybody should head over to shymusic35.com. And of course, if you want to check out more about Jake, it's jaketrussell.com. And, and we'll send everybody over to Mixcloud DJC to check out some of your mixes. And then what Facebook, I know everybody's watching this on Facebook and it's going to be up on Instagram and YouTube and everywhere else, but what Facebook page, are you doing a regular live stream somewhere where they can check you out?
That's right. So my regular, every Saturday night from 6 to 8, I've been doing a live stream from home at my Facebook page is Disc Jockey C. That's spelled out DiscJockey, and then just the letter C. That's my Facebook page. On Instagram, it's just my own Instagram account. It's JTrus, JTRUS, at JTrus. So I've been doing both. I've been doing Facebook Live and Instagram each week, because, like I said, they function a little bit differently. But please join me over there. I'm doing different kinds of music each week because I don't want, you know, the folks who do watch me each week to get bored. So I don't know how long I'll be able to keep that up. But actually, just this past week, I stepped away from that sort of. I DJ'd at Navy Pier as part of their Wave Wall Wax series. And obviously that was supposed to be a live in-person DJ set with an audience, but instead it was this surreal set of just me playing with like the three employees of Navy Pier that helped me get set up, you know, to like otherwise an otherwise empty Navy Pier.
I saw some of that when I was surfing around. That's gotta be weird when you're set up and you're cranking and there's like nobody there.
It's really weird. There was like a whole nice sound system with a subwoofer and everything. It sounded great. And I, you know, I had already planned as part of the Year of Chicago Music to do this set there that was kind of spanned the arc of Chicago music history. So I did a set that started with earliest jazz recordings, like all the way up through contemporary hip hop and footwork and stuff like that. Yeah. And, so, you know, it was a great opportunity to be able to do that, but a very strange situation. And it was also on Saturday. So it was the night that the protests were really breaking out and there were helicopters flying overhead. It was really difficult to get to Navy Pier. It was quite an intense experience. I'm sure not as intense as actually like being in the thick of those protests, but and like you mentioned earlier, I'm like a huge supporter of the protests that are going on. Yeah. So anyway, that was a slight step away from my normal weekly from the house DJ sets. But I'll be going back to that this week, with some sort of different, you know, non all Chicago music set. Not exactly sure what yet.
Well, but I'm pretty sure with the weather nice and people can't really go anywhere yet. It's sort of a loose open. There's no better way to spend some time kicking back on your patio and just listening to you DJ, man. You know, I mean, it's good stuff because I've heard you DJ at that DK's event, and then I've checked out some of your stuff when I'm just kicking back and working. My mind's wandering. I'll throw something on. I just go over to your page and listen to some stuff. It's great. So.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Thanks for listening.
Definitely. And hopefully maybe we'll get to see you again in person sometime sooner rather than later.
I hope so.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
Jake, thanks for jumping on today, man. This has been a great conversation. We could have talked for like 5 hours
absolutely
without any problem at all. But
totally.
Keep me posted and let me know when the results come out on the Shy Music 35 challenge so that we can
will do
announce and push everybody over there through all our platforms. And you know, stay safe, have a good weekend that's coming up.
You
and
too.
Hopefully we'll see each other in person soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, and stay safe yourself. Thanks so much for doing the show.
Definitely.
Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Jake. All right.
All right.
We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm telling you, he's fascinating. He as you know, as you can tell, I mean, he can cover and he can talk about a lot of different styles of music, a lot of different historical musical things here in Chicago, which I love. I mean, we didn't even get into like Chess Records, Record Row. We didn't get into the ballrooms here on the South Side with the big bands and how Louis Armstrong, he mentioned that. But I mean, all of these jazz musicians and all of these blues musicians all came out of Chicago. They were all here, man. They were making and creating history. So if you have a Chicago music event that should be part of this Shy Music 35 challenge, head over to shymusic35.com, enter it in, or vote on what they have there. And what an incredible organization, Arts and Business Council of Chicago. I mean, I've heard of it for years and years and years. It's finally nice to actually connect with somebody that's you know, really involved with it. And I'm going to get more information. We'll have to do a show specifically on Arts and Music Business Council of Chicago, because that's going to be a very important organization coming out of this whole entire situation. That's for sure. All right. Well, I appreciate everyone watching. That was a great conversation. Hopefully everybody's staying safe. Everybody's staying healthy. Everybody is relaxed. And if you have a chance to get out and peacefully protest, by all means, please do. Please get out there. There's been some very well-organized protests here in Chicago. We need to keep the movement going in a peaceful manner so that this doesn't just go away into the ether. We need this thing every day pushing forward. We'll talk about it here on Chicago Music Revealed as events warrant and as we get announcements, as we can help out. And also, let's stop the violence, man. This has been insane. So let's stop the violence in Chicago. Peaceful protesting, absolutely. And everyone stay safe. COVID-19 is still a situation. Wear your mask, use hand sanitizer, self-distance, so we can all get out there and enjoy some live music at some point soon. All right, show tomorrow, 6 p.m. We will announce the guest right after this show because, you know, there's so many things going on here. I don't have my notes in front of me, but I know we have a great guest coming up tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. I know who we have on. I know we have we're going to feature some of the writers, columnists from Chicago Jazz Magazine. We're going to be previewing the new issue that's out right now. The June issue is out for Chicago Jazz Magazine, so check it out on chicagojazzmagazine.com. So we're going to be talking to Monica about the article that she did on The Future Is Now and a whole lot more. She's a fascinating woman, so we're going to be talking to her and a lot more. All right, so everybody stay safe. Everybody stay healthy. As I always say on this show, if you like what you hear, please like the show. Please share it. Please send me a PM, a DM, send me an email, anything you want to do. If you have an idea for the show, any of that stuff, stay safe, stay healthy. And as I always say, if you like this show, tell your family, tell your neighbors, call the grandkids. We'll see you tomorrow, 6 p.m. right here, Chicago Jazz, Chicago Music Revealed. Stay safe.